looking for that perfect Christmas gift for the family? Why not a chicken? Stick a bow on top, put the chicken under the tree, and who knows, you may even have a couple eggs to fry up for breakfast Christmas morning. Give the gift that keeps on clucking. A chicken. Okay, maybe it's not the perfect gift for your family, but it is the perfect gift for a poor family in Asia. A chicken can break the cycle of poverty for a poor family. Yes, a chicken. A chicken's eggs provide food and nourishment for a family, and they can sell those eggs at the market for income. When you donate a chicken or any other animal through Gospel for Asia, 100% of what you give goes to the field. And the best gift of all, when Gospel for Asia gives a poor family an animal, it opens the door to the love of Jesus. So give the perfect gift for a family in Asia this Christmas. Give them a chicken. Call 866-WIN-ASIA. Or to see chickens and other animals to donate, go to CritterCampaign.org.
Welcome to Hope for the Caregiver here on American Family Radio. I am Peter Rosenberger. We're glad to have you with us. If you want to be a part of the show, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Write that down unless you're driving, 888-589-8840. This is the show for you as a caregiver, for those who are knowingly, willingly, and voluntarily putting themselves between a vulnerable loved one and even worse disaster. Maybe also your job as a caregiver is over, your loved one has passed away, but you're still dealing with the aftermath of this. This is the show for you, and we're glad that you're with us. 888-589-8840. I am Peter Rosenberger. I'll be out for this segment and this show for a little bit, and I've asked Jim Stanley, who is the general manager at American Family Radio, to step in and help cover for me because I've got some unexpected caregiving responsibilities, and I'm sure that you all understand that. So I'm going to turn it over to Jim, and thank you all for being a part of us. Thank you for trusting us with your heartache, your pain, and your challenges. Let's kick around some ideas together, and let's see if we can't help each other navigate to a place of safety.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's my privilege to sit in for Peter this morning, and we kind of did a bait and switch there. I'll be completely transparent, honest with you. I asked Peter to give me a voiceover for coming into the show this morning because I didn't want you to think the substitute teacher was here and it would be okay to skip class, because this is the class that you want to be sure and attend each week, because it's a class, hopefully, of hope, of a little restoration, of a little rest. And so this morning, you know, Peter starts his program off each week with a short devotional. And after I finish the devotional this morning, we will be going to the phones at 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And we'll get to those phone calls in just a moment if you want to go ahead and get lined up. In fact, it's better to call in early and get on a little earlier than it is to try and call in later and run the risk of not getting on. And we missed a few phone calls last week, and I apologize for that, but I think we did well with the ones we had. So this morning, I'm looking in 2 Chronicles in chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and I'm going to start off at verse 10. And now see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt. So they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us, for they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. Pardon me, for help. As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jehiel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattai, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph. He said, "Listen, all you people." Here you go. Are you listening? Your people of Judah and Jerusalem, because if you are a born-again Christian, if you know Christ as your Savior, you're among these people. So he says, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat," even addressing the king of the country. Did you get that? Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jurel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions. Then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Let me ask you something. What are your enemies today? What are the enemies that you're fighting against? What are those things that you're struggling against? It may be an overabundance of bills. The hospital will work with you. It's to their benefit to work with you. The doctors will work with you. What if it's a utility bill? The power company will work with you sometimes. If not, there are community resources that you can go and help find some relief. Maybe it's unemployment. Maybe you've been the breadwinner because the loved one in your home, you're being the breadwinner and the caregiver. Be there. Show up every day. Work hard. And remember, you're doing your work as unto the Lord, not your employer. Did you catch that? You do your work as unto the Lord and not your employer, because the Lord your God is with you. When you think about these things and you're surrounded by, on all fronts, friends, don't give up. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army. Don't be discouraged by all the chaos that's going on in the United States today. Don't be discouraged by the size of your bank account. Don't be discouraged by the different things. By the way, my friend Stuart Epperson Jr. was on just before this program in last hour, and he was talking about the widow's mite and how the Lord took those two mites that she had that would have been enough for her to have food for the day, and she yielded those up to the Lord. And the Lord said that he had not seen, you know, that her gift was better than the largest moneylender's gift, if you will. Doesn't mean one's negated. It simply means it was the attitude of the heart with which it was given. But even there, Jewish law said, if you can't afford to give your offering because you need it for food for your house, keep it for food for your house. I'm not saying don't tithe. I'm not saying don't pay your bills. I'm not saying don't do any of those things. But I'm saying try to find the resources in your community. Try the United Way. Try the Salvation Army. Try the Baptist Association. Try the Methodist Association. There are ministries out there that want to help you because they're in this battle with you. Maybe even your church that you attend, they have a food pantry that might help. Maybe they have a fund there that will help, you know, with the bills if they can. So utilize those resources. Don't let your army of pride stand in your way from what you're going to do to try and help yourself and help your family and protect the one that you're the caregiver to. So regardless of these armies that surround you, and I want you to know the enemy can make them look staggering. He'll tell you, you'll never get all this paid off. You won't ever get to do this. You won't ever do that. We know the God beyond the not evers into the everlasting life. We know the God who was from the beginning and is to come. We know him, and he's the one that's telling you through his prophet, here in the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles. Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. Listen, Nancy Pelosi. Listen, President Trump. Listen, Vice President Pence. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I'm Jim Stanley, and for Peter Rosenberger, this is Hope for the Caregiver, and we're going to get to your phone calls next at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840, as Hope for the Caregiver continues here on American Family Radio.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I have. I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me, but over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies, and with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
Yes, it's mine. Do not fear the battle around you. The battle belongs to the Lord. And there's a new name written down in glory. You know, there's coming a day when the Lord returns to get to come for us. And we'll have a transformed body. It'll be brand new. We'll have a brand new name. The Lord promises us that. So our new name is written down in glory if we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I would encourage you with today, is that while we talked about there in 2 Chronicles that the battle is not yours, that it belongs to the Lord, the battle is not ours, it belongs to the Lord. Let me just continue to encourage you along that very thing. 888-589-8840. This is a live program this morning, and we'll be taking your phone calls as soon as you begin to basically call in. We're going to get to them a little earlier than normal this morning. And so go ahead and light the phones up, and we'll begin to get to your questions and do the best that we can to help find some answers. I won't make anything up. If I don't know, I'll simply tell you I don't know. 888-589-8840. You know, I was looking in the news, and I know that's a bad place to look nowadays, but one of the things that's coming out in the next couple of years is they're going to do something to help deaf people be able to call in easier for emergencies, or, you know, to be able to call in easier for TTY calls and things like that. And so they're going basically like you have 911. Well, now they're going to have another three-digit number that's going to help with that. But it's probably about 2 years out. And I question things all the time. So my question was why that was headline news from the FCC, even though it's going to be 2 years down the road. Well, and I think the reason for that is they wanted to show that they were listening to the needs that had been presented to them and that they were willing to try and help. So when we ask you here at AFR to contact your senators and your legislatures, your local senators, your local legislatures, when we ask you to visit afaaction.net and see the voter's guide, there's reasons for that. We want you to make the most informed decision that you can. AFR will never tell you who to vote for. We won't. We will tell you the policies. We will tell you some of the things that they have stood for in the past, some of the things they may stand for in the future, especially when it comes to cultural things, especially when it comes to life. And I'm talking about life being protected literally from the womb to the tomb. And I say it like that, not to be clichéist, not to be flippant, but because we're moving quickly towards assisted suicide in our country. It's beginning to become more accepted. You know, I saw something the other day that said Satan's not even hiding anymore, and people still can't see him. And that's the truth. If you'd like to participate in the show this morning, you can by simply calling 888-589-8840. I do ask that you come in as a caregiver, a recent caregiver, because that's who we want to minister to. That's who we want to talk to about the different things. I'd also invite you to visit standingwithhope.com. That's standingwithhope.com. And while you're there, you can take and see some of the resources that Peter has available for you. You know, Peter Rosenberger, he is our host each week on this program. And these past 2 weeks, today and last week, he's allowed me to sit in for him, and it's been my pleasure to do so. And so we are a participatory show, though, a program. Without your participation, you just hear me ramble or you hear Peter continue to talk. And both he and I would tell you that's not what we want to do. We want to talk with you. We want to minister to you. We want to pray for you. We want to do the different things that we can to help you as a caregiver in the situation that you're in. Peter and I were talking, and I was telling him that I had been a caregiver even in my teenage years, but I didn't know it because we didn't call it that back then. We called it doing what your mom said do. And so we had some mentally challenged young men who lived in our home with us. And also then, even in my later teens, I was a partial caregiver to my mom and stepdad as neither of them drove. And so I took them different places. And again, back then we didn't have the term caregiver. We didn't know, again, we didn't necessarily realize or recognize that what that was. And that's the reason Peter talks about this show being so unique, because this is a show that reaches out to those who are taking care of other people. By the way, moms are caregivers, dads can be caregivers, because they're either caring for their younger children or they're caring for their elderly parents. And, you know, one day we may need caregiving. And so we want to be faithful to do what we can. I saw a funny the other day. It was a short video, and it had a grandmother in the wheelchair in the rear end of a pickup truck. And they had the wheelchair strapped down, but they were going down the road, and the grandmother was in the back, and her hair was blowing in the wind. I do not recommend that as a form of transportation, but I sent that to my mother-in-law, and I told her we would never make her ride like that in the truck. That we might think about it, but we wouldn't do that. And so, we're all caregivers to a certain extent. Some are just more full-time than others. And my mother-in-law was caregiver to my father-in-law, along with me and my wife for many years. My wife and mother-in-law much more so, because I would be at work during the day and generally would come and help in the afternoons and sometimes on the weekends. And then before that, you know, I helped with my mom a little. My wife helped more there. And ultimately, we had to make the choice to put her in an assisted living facility. And the reason we did that is because she had progressed to the point that we could no longer, for her safety, take care of her. Because she would try and get out of bed, and we weren't going to tie her to the bed. She would try and do these different things. And she was to the point that she needed 24-hour continuous care. So we chose to put her in that home. You may be able to continue to care for your parents even after that. And if you can, God bless you. You know, if you're able to do that, then that's fantastic. For those that can't, I would encourage you to really check out the assisted living care facility before you trust them with your mom or with your dad. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number to call this morning. Standingwithhope.com, standingwithhope.com. While you're there, you'll learn about Gracie's Ministry of Prosthetics and how they're working to help those. And even that where some of their help comes from is kind of cool. They work with a prison there in Tennessee that helps refurbish some of these. A couple of books that Peter has available to you. One's called Seven Caregiver Landmines, and I would strongly recommend that book as well as his original, Hope for the Caregiver, which is where this program gets its name from. 888-589-8840. Also, while you're there, you can check out Gracie's project of Standing with Hope. And it's where she has done some songs and music, and we'll have a part of those for you here in just a bit as we return from a break. But let's go to the phone lines now this morning, and we are going to talk to Martha calling from Tennessee. Martha, good morning. How are you feeling?
Not too bad, sir. Had a little more rest last night, so that helps.
Well, good. Now, you said more rest last night, so part of your caregiving takes you into the overnight hours as well?
Well, actually, like you, I had to give up on taking care of my husband. He's in the nursing home right now. But here's my reason for calling. This COVID thing.
Yes, ma'am.
I've seen my husband once since this began. Mm. We had our 50th wedding anniversary in May. And they were kind enough to wheel him to a part of the facility where we could see each other well. And we talked to each other over cell phones so we could hear each other, which that was, they didn't have to do that. And I'm very grateful. But here's my prayer request. This facility has had no issues at all with COVID. Not one patient, not one resident. Monday, I was supposed to see him for a 20-minute visit outside in person, and they called me at 7:30 that morning and told me they had a staff member who had COVID and they had to cancel the meeting. Then Thursday afternoon, they called me for a second person. So that's going to move out our actually being in person again another month, 2 months, you know, it's kind of hard to say, but I'm not the only one who's struggling with all this. And I think because we're out of sight and out of mind, you know, because I just turned 70 and I have, I don't get out, you know, a whole lot. I do go out and get my medicine and groceries, but that's about it. And so it's like, We're too isolated somehow, and I don't know how to change that. I don't know how to change that. But I want to thank you and the station for the foresight to have this kind of a program on, because I won't forget the first time I heard it. I won't ever forget. And I'm so thankful, and I share this with everybody I run into that I know is caregiving. You know, there's a young man in the room right behind my husband who's will be 30 at the end of this month, and his parents haven't been able to see him, and he's bedridden. He's got a good mind, but he's bedridden. Mm-hmm. Now, can you imagine how they're feeling? And so this COVID thing is a whole lot bigger than people are understanding, and I honestly think it's senseless. What we've been through, we didn't need to go through, but what we've been through, we've been through, and so we can learn from it. But I would appreciate prayers.
All right, Martha, I tell you what, as soon as we come back from the break, can you hold on just a minute?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to put you back on hold there for a moment as we go to break. And then I want to come back, and on the other side of the break, I want to pray for you and folks like you, because I know that for a long time here, even in Tupelo, we could not go and go into the doctor's office with loved ones and whatnot. Hope for the Caregiver on AFR continues straight ahead.
I'm Peter Rosenberger, and this is your Caregiver Minute. As caregivers, we are weary, fearful, wounded souls trying to stand between a vulnerable loved one and even harsher circumstances. But the grim things we face can cause our hearts to daily break, and we cry out for relief and to feel better. During our journey as a caregiver, there's going to be many times where we won't feel better. Someone we love suffers, and we're often powerless to do anything about it. You're never going to feel better about that. But that's not the goal. The goal becomes to be better as we journey through this often long valley of the shadow of death, and to be healthier on every level, physically, emotionally, financially, spiritually. We can be healthy while caring for someone who isn't, even if we feel heartbroken over what we must do as caregivers. We're not always going to feel better, but we can be better, and let's do this together.
This has been your Caregiver Minute with Peter Rosenberger, brought to you by Standing with Hope. There's more information at standingwithhope.com.
Sometimes I feel discouraged. My days are filled with pain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul. Again, reminds me about a ball in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a ball.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver on American Family Radio. I'm Jim Stanley in for Peter Rosenberger today. And again, it's my privilege to be here. Now, that song is from Gracie Rosenberger, and it's called Balm in Gilead. If you cannot preach like Peter, if you cannot pray like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus and say he died for all. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. And yes, there are a lot of physical illnesses that we struggle with here on a daily basis. There are a lot of sometimes even mental fatigue that can lead to mental illness. There is anxiety that can lead to mental illness. And so these things are there. But friends, never forget, as I said earlier, the battle's not ours. It belongs to the Lord. 888-589-8840. Right now we're talking to Martha from Tennessee, and Ms. Debbie will be with you in just a couple of minutes. But Martha, what I was saying just before the break is that even here in Tupelo, if a loved one was taken to the emergency room in an ambulance, a loved one was not allowed to go into the hospital with them. There were no elective surgeries. And what's one person's classification of elective may be someone else's classification of needed. But it was taken out of the individual's hands, and this was being decided by state health departments and even national health departments. And so I understand where you're coming from there. And I do want you to know that we here at AFR, we understand when people are walking through COVID. We understand when loved ones and fellow staff members are involved. And we had been blessed for many, many months. And just a couple of weeks ago, we had our first staff member who tested positive for COVID. And so, you know, we went through the sanitizing and had everybody else kind of watching to make sure that they weren't getting sick or having symptoms too. And so, Miss Martha, I told you, and you know, to a degree, you're right, I think, because we forget about the healthcare workers, even in the nursing homes. And a lot of times we think, well, the patients are being cared for, but we forget even there about the ones who are giving them care. You know, we forget about the nurses and doctors who are at the hospitals treating our loved ones. We talk about first responders, and folks, they are tremendously important. I am 100% back to blue. Now, there may be some bad apples there. Let's get some of them out. But you've got 98% of the apples are good. So don't throw away the harvest, because of a few bad ones. Let's get rid of the bad ones. And we also want to, you know, be in prayer for our red line, if you will. And that's the fire departments and the ambulance and paramedics and things. So there's a whole host of our country that their job is to take care of us. We think of our men and women who serve in the armed forces. They go beyond the borders to help protect what we believe here in America. So, yes, ma'am, you're absolutely right. There's a whole host of people that we need to pray for. But this morning, what's your husband's name?
Gary.
Well, I'll tell you, this morning, let's pray for Gary, for his personal care. Carrie or Gary?
No, it's J-E-R-R-Y.
I was way off.
Tom and Jerry.
Yes, ma'am. I won't tell him you said that. How's that?
He'd love it.
Okay. Well, let's pray for Jerry, his home, and then also the care workers as a whole. Father God, this morning, we thank you for the reminder from your scripture that even this battle is not ours, but it belongs to you. And Father, for those who are receiving care in the personal care homes, from those who are in the recovery centers, to those who are in the hospitals without loved ones there to support them, and Father, even to those that are there with a loved one to support them, we ask that you would minister to the men and women, the massive amount of men and women who are helping to care for them. Lord, for the loved one of those that they can't get to them. They may not be able to physically touch them or hug them, and they themselves sometimes need those hugs. Father, remind them that you're there and we can cry, Abba, Father. Lord, it's not easy. Nothing's cliche. Nothing's flippant. Lord, it's not easy. But that's why you remind us that you're with us. That's why you remind us to take your yoke upon you. Take your yoke upon us, Lord. I'll get it right. Thank you. Father, this morning, that we might welcome the being co-yoked with Jesus, who himself stands at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us today. And Lord, we're so glad that you promised that whosoever will may come. We're so glad that you promised that you sent your Son for all, and that's simply what it means. It's not ambiguous. It simply means all. So, the Father, this morning, minister by your Spirit. Renew those this morning by your Spirit who are discouraged and who are hurting. And yes, Lord, for those that are dealing with the side effects of the coronavirus, of COVID-19. Father, for those that are dealing with pneumonia, influenza, and a host of other things. Father, for those that are dealing with AIDS this morning. Father, regardless of the illness, we know that you are our balm in Gilead. So minister today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Miss Martha, thank you for sharing this morning. I sure appreciate it. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Got to talk to Debbie calling from Ohio now. Debbie, good morning and welcome to Hope for the Caregiver.
Good morning. How are you?
I am good, but the question is, how are you feeling?
I am well. I have two questions, if you don't mind, today.
Okay.
So I am a primary caregiver for my two adult sons with developmental disabilities. They reside with me. I'm a single parent, and also I try to assist one of my siblings in caring for our elderly mom. So my two questions are, I guess I'm not sure where my priority, where the Lord would prefer me to focus most of my attention. Is it in caring for my two sons or in caring for my mom?
All right, hold on. Hold on, Debbie.
Okay.
Let's talk about that one first.
Okay.
And let's go back to my original question. How are you doing? Because it sounds like you're struggling.
Yes, I feel conflicted. I sometimes vacillate between, you know, my sons are, you know, in their late 20s. My mom is in her late 80s. Focus more on how I can help out with mom. And then I vacillate back to, you know, I feel like my sons are my primary mission or ministry.
Well, let me share something with you that I've heard Peter say before, and I think this answer may surprise you. The person you need to take care of most is you. Because if you don't take care of you, you're not going to be any good to your boys or to your mom. Now, you said you're kind of shouldering the responsibilities with a sibling for your mom. So maybe see, instead of, is it the only one sibling or do you have a couple of others?
Well, I have five siblings. Two of them live out of state. One of them, he does what he can by calling to check on my mom several times throughout the week just to give her that emotional support. And the other sibling, usually if there's a monetary need to do whatever for my mom, you know, she is first to chip in that way. And then the four of us who are here in town, we try to collaborate, but more often than not, it's one of us or two of us that does more than the other two of us.
Well,
and
far be it from me to tell you how to work within your family, because you know them much better than I ever will. But do they have caregiving needs at home that they're also having to help with? Because you're telling me that you're a single mom, and I get that. It means you have to carry the responsibility for those two souls in your home by yourself.
Yeah.
And then you're still trying to go in, and caring for your mom is great. You know, the scripture tells us to honor our father and mother, because that is the first commandment with the promise of long life. You know, and so as we honor them, caregiving is part of that. But if you have a couple of other siblings, maybe instead of doing half or a third, maybe they can help you come down to a fourth of the caregiving needs there. And I'm not saying abandon your mom. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying that remind them that you have things going on at home that you have to take care of too. And you said you guys are all, you know, that y'all collaborate about your mom. Remind them about the needs of your house and maybe see if they would come and give you a break one night. You know, maybe they could come in and sit one night. And if they could do that, I know that would probably help you as well. So what's your next question? And if you can tell me before the break, I'll try and answer right after, okay?
Okay, sure. My next question is, I'm struggling about whether to seek a group home assistance for my two sons who reside with me.
All right. Well, tell you what, Debbie, hang on, and we'll come back and we'll talk about that just a little after the break, okay? This is Hope for the Caregiver on American Family Radio. Jim Stanley in for the great Peter Rosenberger. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, this is Peter Rosenberger. Have you ever helped somebody walk for the first time? I've had that privilege many times through our organization, Standing with Hope. When my wife, Gracie, gave up both of her legs following this horrible wreck that she had as a teenager, and she tried to save them for years, and it just wouldn't work out, and finally she relinquished them and thought, wow, this is it. I mean, I don't have any legs anymore. What can God do with that? And then she had this vision for using prosthetic limbs as a means of sharing the gospel, to put legs on her fellow amputees, and that's what we've been doing now since 2005 with Standing with Hope. We work in the West African country of Ghana, and you can be a part of that through supplies, through supporting team members, through supporting the work that we're doing over there. You could designate a limb. There's all kinds of ways that you could be a part of giving the gift that keeps on walking at standingwithhope.com. Would you take a moment to go out to standingwithhope.com and see how you can give? They go walking and leaping and praising God. You can be a part of that at standingwithhope.com.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver here on American Family Radio. Jim Stanley in for Peter Rosenberger. I invite you to visit standingwithhope.com, standingwithhope.com, and you can find some excellent resources there that Peter and Gracie have available. And I think I mentioned last week, but Peter's quite the pianist. And so if you enjoy instrumental music, if you enjoy piano music, I'd encourage you to listen to that as well. We're on the phone now with Debbie from Ohio. And just a quick recap, Debbie is a single mom who is caring for two sons and then also splitting her time to help care for her mom. And so right now we're talking, she just posed a question about a group home situation for her sons. Debbie, tell me a little more about what you mean about that.
So my long-term goal is to, as much as possible, prepare my sons for life after I'm no longer here. Their dad is still alive, and we are actually both co-guardians for our sons. Mm-hmm. So ideally, if I pass away, our sons would go to live with their dad. But if for whatever reason he's unable to, unwilling to, or perhaps maybe he predeceases me, my goal would be to have my sons familiar enough with living in a, you know, living in a group facility, a group home, for, you know, to receive care because they are unable to live independently, of mm-hmm. course. And so I just kind of struggle with, you know, should I be exploring those options now and or just kind of wait and see. They have a brother who, prior to getting married last year, had said, you know, yeah, mom and dad, if anything ever happened to the both of you, Aaron and Matt can come live with me. But now that he's married, he's been married since last September, I haven't had that conversation with him just to recap and say, hey, is now to both you and your wife, is that something that you guys would be willing to do? And you know, and I guess I don't even want to put my son and his wife in that situation.
And that's admirable. I mean, that's admirable. However, don't rob the son or the brother of a blessing.
Okay.
Now, here's what I would recommend. I would recommend having the tough talk with your other son and his wife. Because they're also going to look at maybe a family of their own, and that's going to play into care, you know, being extended caregivers to the two brothers.
Right.
Don't be a hero. Don't try and tote all of this by yourself. That's a great Southern colloquialism there. Don't tote it on your own. All right?
Okay.
I even put the "you're" in there for you. So when you do that, what happens is you wind up exhausting yourself. So don't be a hero. Be a mom who loves her sons and who loves her mom, but also takes time for herself. So if exploring the group home is an option and it's financially feasible for you, I would at least go and have that visit. I would at least go and maybe even have someone from staff there come and talk to the three of you together. So that all three of you will have in, or four of you would have input to that, you know, and look at it that way. Again, pick the facility very carefully because you don't want to feel guilty, and don't let Satan make you feel guilty that you're abandoning those boys, because that's not what you're looking to do. What you're looking to do is to make sure that they have long-term caregiving on the other side. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. Well, Debbie,
and you're right. I do feel guilty.
Yeah, that's a hard place to be, because when you're with your mom, you feel guilty for not being with your boys, and when you're with the boys, you feel guilty for not being with your mom. You gotta, and at some point, don't forget, you gotta save some time for Debbie too.
Yes.
So
yes,
have those conversations. Call us back and let us know how it's going. Would you do that for me?
Yes, sir. I sure will.
All right, Debbie. God bless you.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. God bless you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Hope for the Caregiver on American Family Radio. Jim Stanley in for Peter Rosenberger this morning. And now we're going to talk to Elaine from Oklahoma. Elaine, welcome to, not exploring the word, but to Hope for the Caregiver.
Yes, I'm here. And exploring the word, we definitely need to do that. I was a nurse's aide and then went to nursing school, graduated in 1972. And I worked a number of jobs, but I took care of both my parents. My mother died of Lou Gehrig's in 1992. My father had congestive heart failure and some heart issues in 2000. And my biggest thing was siblings, because I had three siblings, and they all basically thought a different thing should be done. We could get online with some things, but when it came to finances, there were fights because I was there to take care of them, and I was going to get the care in and get what they needed. And the finances were there. There was money there. But I have to say, a good support system, I had an incredible church. And what if for some reason, sometimes I could get to the service, sometimes not, but they would mail me a tape. So I had hospice in with my dad too. We weren't able to get it in time with my mom, but with my dad, I had hospice. So I had someone that would come in a couple hours a day, and I'd either go upstairs, listen to the tape, or that's when I did running around for groceries or whatever. But the biggest thing is, like the lady just before me, hopefully she maybe has a social worker or someone that she can work with for her voice. My heart goes out to her. My children were teenagers at the time, and they understood what was going on. But it was still, I was torn because I was still working 3 days a week besides. So, but a good support system, that is one of the biggest things.
Absolutely.
And then with the siblings, to be able to try to be on board as much as possible.
Yes, ma'am.
I said, and finances were there. So it was a challenge, but I don't regret any of it, you know. And like you said, the word says honor your father and your mother, that you'll have a long life.
Right.
But I took a year off of Bible school. I was going back. I'd been a nurse, couldn't do it because of back issues, and ended up going to Rhema Bible College in Oklahoma. So that, I had a lot of that in me too. So you do what you can do, a good support system, and the word.
All right.
Not just your strength. With the word.
Amen. Thank you, Elaine. We sure appreciate that. And now we're going to talk to Susan, calling from Oklahoma this morning. Susan, good morning, and welcome to Hope for the Caregiver. How are you feeling?
Good morning. I'm feeling fine. I'm not a caregiver anymore, but I have been. And I believe you said people who have been caregivers could call in.
Yes, ma'am. You're welcome to.
Well, I was just thinking of my father when I cared for him, and that was quite a few years ago. And I just have kind of a cautionary tale for caregivers, because I remember when my father was really ill, and I think it was stomach problems, I can't remember. But I took him in to a particular doctor, it wasn't one that I don't think I picked him out, but, you know, families sometimes get together and pick out a doctor. But I don't think he was my choice. But anyway, this doctor, you know, my dad was sick, very sick, feeling not good, or I would not have taken him in. And at that time, the doctor decided to give him a cognitive test. And I thought that was very strange. You know, to give them a cognitive test. Why would you give somebody a test on and ask them a lot of questions and stuff like that when they're not feeling well, and try to ascertain things like that? And so just my cautionary tale is, be careful of doctors. My dad did end up on something, I think it is called Aricept. I think that was what it was called, but I was never for it. And he did get off it, because people can get put on so much medicine, and even the medicine you're on, I mean, there's so many things in the world that can affect your thinking. And I know he didn't do well on that cognitive test. And over my objections, he did somehow end up on, you know, taking it, but not forever.
Well, now, I will say this. If you are working with a doctor, make sure it's a doctor you trust. Make sure that it's one, and I say this to any caregiver, make sure that the medicine that the doctor's prescribing, have them explain clearly why they're wanting to prescribe that medicine. But ultimately, you said, and again, Susan, this is in no wise penalizing you. Please hear my heart here. Ultimately, it's the caregiver. If the person's living at home and you're taking care of them at home, then you're the one that actually puts the medicine in the cup. And if it's a medicine you don't agree with, then don't use it. You don't have to. But if it's what the doctor's recommending, make sure you're not just being, be careful with yourself sometimes too, I guess is what I mean there. Because certainly we go to the doctors because we trust them to help what's best for us. But sometimes the different medicines can give off side effects, and then you wind up on medicines for the side effects too. So be real careful with that. Pray with your doctor if you can, and make sure you make the best choice you can. Well, I'm Jim Stanley, and it's been my privilege to host Hope for the Caregiver again this week. Peter should be back next week. Have a great weekend. Stay tuned to AFR.
Hey, this is John Butler, producer of Hope for the Caregiver, and I have learned something that you probably all know, that Gracie, his wife, lost her legs many, many years ago and started a prosthetic limb outreach ministry called Standing with Hope. And recently, they ended up with a rather unique and unexpected partner. Peter had a conversation with Gracie, and take a listen.
Gracie, when you envisioned doing a prosthetic limb outreach, did you ever think that inmates would help you do that?
Not in a million years.
When you go to the facility run by CoreCivic over in Nashville, and you see the faces of these inmates that are working on prosthetic limbs that you have helped collect from all over the country that you put out the plea for, and they're disassembling. You see all these legs, like what you have, your own prosthetic
and
legs.
And arms, too.
And arms.
Everything.
When you see all this, what does that do to you?
Makes me cry, because I see the smiles on their faces, and I know what it is to be locked someplace where you can't get out without somebody else allowing you to get out. Of course, being in the hospital so much and so long. And so these men are so glad that they get to be doing, as one man said, something good finally with my hands.
Did you know before you became an amputee that parts of prosthetic limbs could be recycled?
No, I had no idea. You know, I thought of peg leg. I thought of wooden legs. I never thought of titanium and carbon legs and flex feet and sea legs and all that. I never thought about that.
As you watch these inmates participate in something like this, knowing that they're helping other people now walk, they're providing the means for these supplies to get over there, what does that do to you just on a heart level?
I wish I could explain to the world what I see in there. And I wish that I could be able to go and say, this guy right here, he needs to go to Africa with us. I never not feel that way. Every time, you know, you always make me have to leave. I don't want to leave them. I feel like I'm at home with them. And I feel like that we have a common bond that I would have never expected that only God could put together.
Now that you've had an experience with it, what do you think of the faith-based programs that CoreCivic offers?
I think they're just absolutely awesome. And I think every prison out there should have faith-based programs like this, because the return rate of the men that are involved in this particular faith-based program and the other ones like it, but I know about this one, is just an amazingly low rate compared to those who don't have them. And I think that says so much. That doesn't have anything to do with me. It just has something to do with God using somebody broken to help other broken people.
If people want to donate a used prosthetic limbs, whether from a loved one who passed away or, you know, somebody who outgrew them, you've donated some of your own for them to do. How do they do that? Where do they find it?
Please go to standingwithhope.com/recycle. standingwithhope.com/recycle.
Thanks, Gracie.